أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين وبه نستعين. We seek refuge to the Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe, from the evil of the devil. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. It is really a great blessing to sit down and discuss the enlightening, the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran. Inshallah ta'ala, today we will be discussing Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter of Al-Bayyinah, inshallah ta'ala, in which it begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة and so forth. إن شاء الله تعالى. This chapter is one of the greatest chapters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, everything in the Holy Quran is great. Everything in the Holy Quran is a challenge. It invites everyone to a certain challenge, to a certain power, let's say, challenge. It said that if you think that these words had come from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other than Allah, whoever it is, whether it's Gabriel, whether it's Israfil, whether it's Mikael, Michael, or whether it is the highest humans, it is an invitation. You go ahead and you bring statements like it. So therefore, it can be proven that it is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This chapter is one of those chapters that is from the gleaming revelation from the Holy Quran. Surah Al-Bayyinah. What is bayna? Bayna means bayin, wadih, clear, manifest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have brought something called al-bayna. But what is this for? Before we get into the explanation of this chapter, let's see what's the benefit of reading this chapter. Imam al-Baqir, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, whoever read this chapter, Surah Al-Bayyinah, لم يكن الذين كفروا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him disassociated completely from the shirk or from any form of blasphemy or any form of associating somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him sturdy and be on the faith and the follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Another benefit is that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he resurrect him, the day of resurrection after death. See, we die, we go to purgatory, and then we resurrect. When we resurrect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect him with the title of being a mu'min, a believer. And not only that, but also he will reckon him, his accountancy will be at ease, easy in his reckoning. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that reckoning, he will send him to his permanent abode or the heaven, inshallah ta'ala. It begins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين. Those who become blaspheme, those who kufr, لم يكن الذين كفروا, they're not. Those who are kafir now. What is the meaning of kafir? The word kafir is the one who, you know, in Arabic, every word has a meaning. The word kafir means the one that covers a thing, just like a farmer. Usually a farmer takes a seed, puts it in the ground, and covers it up. He is called the kafir. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word with respect, you know, because, but they cover the truth. Those called kafirs. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Okay, those who hide the truth are two different kinds. What are they? مَنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, the people of the book, and mushrikeen, and those who associate, let's say, God forbid, a statue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that Allah is this a statue, or any other issue. Mutfakkin, they usually are together. Hatta ta'tiyahumul bayyina, they usually are together until the manifested proof had come to them. Once this manifest proof came to them, then you'll be seeing them that they are separated. Now that is one meaning. The other meaning is this, that once the proof had come to them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave them as without a form of harsh accountancy. In other words, let me kind of put it a little easier. Once a proof had came to the people, before the proof, there is no test. But once a proof came to the person, a manifested proof, bayyina. Bayyina means not just a number comes in. Let's say that somebody came and told you what is 2 plus 3. Someone said 7, someone said 8, someone said 4, someone said 5. It seems like it's a by-the-way issue. Without proving to you. Bayyina means proven to you. So when a religion, when a faith of Allah comes to you, it comes with a power of a proof behind it. It doesn't come just as a by-the-way, another issue. No. It comes and you see the reason behind it. A logical, rational reason that goes with your heart and intuition. Yes, it is that way. Once it came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to let them go. Then the accountancy and the reckoning and the punishment will come. حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةُ. So, those people will not be reckoned, will not be separated, whether they are Ahlul Kitab or whether they are Mushrikeen, these two groups, the ones that they believe in other books, or the one other than, let's say, the Holy Quran, or the ones that they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their creator, is in other than the Holy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the sun or the moon or a statue or whatever it is. Once a proof had came to them, then there will be reckoning. Now, what is this proof? This proof is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulun min Allah. Now, at the beginning, it's saying Rasulun min Allah. Any Rasul, any messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent many messengers, many prophets. Matter of fact, it said that Allah sent 124,000 prophets to humanity. Why? Because always He wants to guide them toward this truth. And this guidance means that He comes and He shows them bayyina, a manifested proof. Look at the life of Moses, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. He didn't come and just say, I am a messenger of Allah. He came and he performed many miracles. When we say miracle, miracle is something that no one can perform but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of Jesus, peace be upon him. He came, he didn't just say, by words said that I am the messenger of Allah. No. He came and he proved to the people. He cured the people. He opened the eyes of many people. The dead, he raised the dead, and so forth. And the rest of the prophet, each one of them, they had a certain power. Rasulullah, this is Rasul. Yatlu suhufan mutahhara. He not only comes, but also he comes with a reading revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he had suhuf. David, Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he had the Psalms, or his book. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent over 100 different books, and among them is the Holy Quran. Torah came by Moses. Evangel, Injil, came by Jesus. The Holy Quran came by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He came and he was reciting them. He was reading them. What kind of suhuf? Suhuf means papers that you read, and which he bought. What were they? Mutahhara, clean. Mutahhara from what? Tathir from what? Tathir from vain, from vanity, from batil, from wrongness. It came showing the truth, and it is clean from any form of wrong or contradiction or vanity, the one that you don't know what it is, and it is white and it tells you it's black, for instance, as an issue. In the suhuf, there is something which is very important. Anyone in their lifetime they should use. What is this? It is fiha kutubun qayyima. In this chapter, in these books, in these suhuf, the papers that the messengers had brought, it has the equations of the world to the truth. فيها كتب قيمة. It has books. قيم. What's the meaning of قيم? قيم means, let me give you an example. It's like a pendulum. You know, when these builders, they would like to know if the building is straight or not. Long time ago, they used to have something called a pendulum, a form of a metal weight is tied to a rope, and then they looked at it at the bottom, they see if it is straight or not. If it's not, well, it just means that they have to change it. They have to break it down and build it again, or they have to fix it in one way or another. Same thing. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that no matter what you do, as far as right and wrong is concerned, going toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first check yourself. First check yourself against this pendulum, this kutub qayyim, these books that will tell you this is right from this is wrong. First check yourself. Then you take the right and go forward. What it's saying, I think what they're saying is this, that everything in this life, it has its own parameter. For instance, if you sit down in a room, whether to say it is hot or cold, you may know that it's hot and cold, but what is the temperature? You would not know. What do you need in order to know exactly what is the temperature? You need a thermometer. Once you look at the thermometer and you see, oh, wow, the thermometer is saying it is 85 or 90, you know, wow, it is hot. If the thermometer is saying, no, it's 45, then it's, wow, it's cold, 50, it's cold. So the thermometer determines the degree. You will know the thermometer that room is really over hot or less hot and so forth, the evidence, for instance, so forth. If you would like to check the weight, you go to the weighing scale. You do not depend upon the thermometer at this moment. No, you need a different thing. If you would like to check the speed of a car, you need a speedometer for the car. If you would like to check someone's blood pressure, you need a sphygmomanometer. The hospitals use it. They will tell you exactly what is your blood pressure. You can't just hold someone's finger and say, well, for instance, you have such and such blood pressure. For everything you need a parameter, you need a scale to measure it with. For the truth toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, you need a parameter. This parameter is the words, the true words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is not been deviated from its way out. Then what happened? Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, once this Rasul, he bought the books, once he showed to the people what happened, separation, then started. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here also gave a warning as well, and he also said, also the with this parameter, the good people from the bad people, he separated them. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. Now, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about only one group. The group that they follow a book, any form of a book. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Those who had books prior to the Holy Quran, they separated. Why they separated? إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. Prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declaring himself as a prophet, as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were saying, yes, you're good. They also by themselves, they were saying, yes, we are separated from these guys. Once he came, then also they became groups. Ahlul Kitab, they became their own group. Whoever believed in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they became the believers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and the others, they became with their own blaspheme. They completely denied anything. In other words, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi came and he declared La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, then what happened? Then suddenly you saw that Ahlul Kitab said, no, we are the followers of the book. The blaspheme, the one that they were following, whatever, they were saying, we are the ones that they follow this, the sun, the moon, as a god, astaghfirullah, rabbi wa tuwili. And the ones who followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, also they became the believers, they became a group. So now I have several groups, so three groups. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi come with? What did he tell them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as I said, he brought a parameter. This parameter is this. وَمَا أُمِرُوا. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that religion is not something that you do what you want to do. A faith means believing in the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of this universe. It is not that you go ahead and you sit down and you wake up in the morning and look at the sun and say, hey, that sun made me warm, therefore God forbid he is my son. Or he looks at the night and says, a full moon, beautiful, shining night. He said, oh, maybe that's God. And he said, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that they were commanded not but to worship Allah, the Almighty Allah, the creator of this whole universe. Not just worshipping, but worshipping sincerely. Now here we have parameters also. Worshipping Allah and worshipping him sincerely, not worshipping him because of something. but worshipping him sincerely. Now, if I may here just add a word that Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi wa said. He said, Lord, I did not worship you. See, this is one of the parameters. Lord, I did not worship you for the fear of the hellfire, because that fear is the worship of slaves. Now, mind you, I did not worship you because I did not want to be poor. I did not worship you because I did not want me to lose my children for certain disasters, God forbid, tragedy or something. No, it's going way higher than mundane issues. Lord, I did not worship you because of the fear of the hellfire, because that is the worship of the slaves. Lord, I did not worship you, so I will go to heaven, because that is the worship of a businessman. I worship you, you give me heaven. I pray, you give me a castle in the heaven. That is businessman's treat, dealings. But Lord, I worship you because I found you worthy of worship. And I worshiped you. Sincerity for you, Allah, not for anything else. That is the highest form of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this kind of a worship, which is so high. Ya Allah, at least let us be with our master, Amir al-Mu'mineen, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what kind of a worship is this? What kind of a ibadah? What kind of a going toward Allah? Number one is to worship Allah. Second is to worship sincerely. And third, hunafa. What is hunafa? It means right in the middle, a balanced worship. Also means tahir. Tahir means away from any vanity, away from any insane worship. And what? And وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Once you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincerely and right, balanced worship, and in that worship you need something to do to show that. What is that? Number one. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. What is إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ? A lot of people think that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say pray. No, he said establish prayers. No matter where you look in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commands to the prayer, He says, إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish a prayer. Don't just pray for your own sake. When you go pray, and you pray the wajib prayer, make sure that with that prayer, you affect others. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, but you establish a prayer no matter where you go. A lot of people, when they go to a place, they set up a little location. So this is for nothing but a prayer. They put little nice things in there, a good smell, you know, when they get, and they tell everybody, this is the place of a prayer. When he goes there, he makes adhan, iqama, and so forth. Establish prayer. Then what? And then, وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Give charity. What is charity? It's very important. Brothers and sisters, Allah bless you, inshallah ta'ala. A lot of people think, well, I'm the one who got rich, so therefore, the money is mine. No. There are many poor people in this community. There are many people, humans, that they do not have food to eat. There are many orphans. Many places they will be hit by disasters. SubhanAllah, in two statements I heard, one of them said that from sunrise to sunset, 24,000 people die out of hunger. SubhanAllah, what is this? And God knows how many more people die out of sickness because they don't have money, they get sick, they can't go to the hospital, or they don't have the money to go to school. They will remain uneducated, ignorant for all of their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He commanded that every one of us that has that little extra, He pays it to a centralized location. In our case, we pay it to our grand scholars, whether it is Ayatollah Sayyid Sistani, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, Ayatollah Sayyid Sa'id al-Hakim, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, Ayatollah Sheikh Wahid al-Khurasani, may Allah's peace and blessings, Sheikh Najafi, Sheikh Muhammad Baqir al-Airawani, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon those grand scholars. The one that you are associated with, the one that you follow as taqlid, you have to send them that zakat. And zakat could be khums, could be fitrah, whatever it is, wajib upon you. You must be. This is the religion. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, prayer, paying zakat and alms. That is the parameter. That ذَلِكَ دِينَ الْقَيِّمَةِ. That is the religion for everybody. These are the bases, of course. Of course, there are other issues, you know, but these are the bases. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, whoever now gets into this faith, the best of the best and the worst of the worst are these two groups, the ones that are coming. He said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. No, for those who became blaspheme among whether Ahlul Kitab and the Mushrikeen, whether it's the followers of the books and the ones that associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a god or another god or something, they said they will be in Nar Jahannam. They will be in the hellfire, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Whoever insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Allah, either you are in this statue or in this animal, God forbid, or whatever it is. Or if he says, no, Allah, you're not one, you're two or five or seven or three or 13 or whatever. Whoever associates these with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, there is no God but me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only indivisible, the one that cannot be divided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who do not believe in this faith, they will be going to the hellfire, and they are the worst. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst of the people. Then we have another group. This is one group. And the other group is, and those who believe, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they did the good deeds. The good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told them. What is the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the best of the best of the whole people of the world. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and those who are good, the other kind, they go to the hellfire and they remain there forever. This kind, جَزَاءُ, their compensation, عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, what is set up with their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Jannatu Adn. Yeah, subhanallah. Of course, as we said, heaven is many different levels and locations. Among them is this, Jannatu Adn. There are several layers of heaven. And now in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, He said, there is one Jannah that resembles this dunya. You see a pomegranate. You go down there, you see a pomegranate. You say, wow, this looks like that one. Yes. Maybe an apple, maybe whatever. You know, the birds that you eat, you know, the meat and so forth. But then we have other levels of heaven that is not known to us. We cannot understand, we cannot comprehend, because it's way beyond our comprehension until we get there. You know, It's just like explaining a marital life, for instance, to 4 or 5 years old. He doesn't understand that joy until he gets there. So until we get there, we get there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows it to us. He said, Jannatu Adn, the Eden, gardens of Eden. What kind? The one that underneath it, you will be seeing rivers of nice things. In other places, rivers of milk, rivers of honey, rivers of the best liquors that will not make you drunk but gives you that joy. And then we have other issues too that also is very not understanding to us. Number one, it's khalidin fiha, khulud, an everlasting living, forever living. How can I comprehend? My brain cannot see that, or cannot comprehend the foreverness. And then he said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and satisfied with those who believed in him and did the good deeds. He is satisfied with them. And they are also pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put one little issue. What is that issue? He said, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Now, what is khushu'? Khushu'. Now, in Arabic, if you read the Holy Quran, there's a place that said khushu', and there's another place that said khudu'. Now, what is the difference between khushu' and khudu'? It is both form of humility. They both, you see that the person kind of gets his head down, like in a prayer, like in a, when he stands up in the front of a king or somebody of a high position. However, khudu', it may not be from the heart. It may be doing it out of fear. You stand up before a king and you get your head down, out of whatever that you think. But khushu', no. It is deep in your heart. You believe in that humility. You believe in that lowness. Your heart, deep down inside, it becomes an instinct when you say Allahu Akbar and you stand up for a prayer. Your heart knows who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do it naturally. Not just doing it for the sake of doing it because he's a king or because he's great or whatever he is. Yes, subhanAllah. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Ya Allah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among these people. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us understand more and more of his gleaming words. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us have the explanation of the Holy Quran from the sources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent as a teachers. Those teachers are Ahlul Bayt, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he taught Ahlul Bayt so they can teach us. Lord, all of this so we can be closer and closer to you. All of this so we will be making khushu' to you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم